Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now, our climate story of the week. We do this every Tuesday on The Brian Lehrer Show this year. New York's accounting method for greenhouse gas emissions as an unresolved issue in the tense budget negotiations that are now in overtime in Albany. That's our climate story this week. The budget was supposed to be done on Saturday. That was April 1st for the new fiscal year that has now begun on that day. Climate policy is apparently one item holding it up. So what's the issue? Well, methane, according to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, is more than 25 times as potent as carbon dioxide at trapping heat in the atmosphere. Per the Environmental Defense Fund, methane has more than 80 times the warming power of carbon dioxide over the first 20 years after it reaches the atmosphere. Even though CO2 has a longer-lasting effect, methane sets the pace for warming in the near term. At least 25% of today's global warming is driven by methane from human actions, says the Environmental Defense Fund. Now, because methane does its damage fairly quickly in comparison to carbon dioxide and then dissipates, New York's 2019 climate law instructs the state to measure methane emissions over a 20-year period. So why is Governor Hochul backing legislation that would allow for methane to be measured over a 100-year period? This push to change the methane accounting metric has added another wrinkle to the contested state budget. In a statement, my next guest, Democrat Pete Harkman, New York State Senator representing Westchester and a little above there in the Hudson Valley and chair of the Environmental Conservation Committee, is clear. His statement says any attempt by the executive to insert a change in climate accounting into budget negotiations is ill-advised and ill-timed. To change the climate accounting in the 11th hour of budget negotiations would be counterproductive to the progress we have been making since the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act was enacted in 2019. So that's some background. Senator Harkin joins me now to talk about this. Senator Harkin, thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks so much for having me, Brian. Great to be with you.
Do you want to go into any more detail for our listeners who probably never heard this issue raised before about what the accounting method is and how it fits into New York's climate goal overall?
Sure. The important thing to understand is when we passed the law, the Climate Action Council was established to lay out the rules. How is New York going to make this transition? And they spent thousands of hours going through the science. And the science tells us that the 20-year accounting method focusing on methane is a current science. The 100-year standard was developed 30 years ago at Kyoto, but science has emerged. We know that methane, as you described in your open, is the much more potent greenhouse gas. And that's why the members of the Climate Action Council in the scoping plan specifically focused on methane and the 20-year plan. So now to all of a sudden switch to the 100-year plan, one would negate all of the work that has been done, all of the analysis that's been done. You know, and to me, it's like right before a football game when the referee's about to do the coin toss and says, oh, by the way, any team that gets inside the red zone, that counts as a touchdown too. Mm. You know, it doesn't. It's changing the rules midway. A lot of good work has been done on it, and this would completely undo that work.
What are some of the main sources of methane emissions within New York State?
Well, the primary is natural gas, and natural gas is primarily used in buildings. So a lot of the opposition, or shall we say, support for changing the accounting standard is coming from natural gas suppliers, because this is going to be a threat to their bottom line. And, you know, when we decided to decarbonize as a state, and that is the policy of New York State, unfortunately, there are winners and there are losers. And the gas industry is one of those. And we understand they have shareholders and they have employees and they have customers. And that's why this is going to be a transition. And we acknowledge that. but we can't keep holding on to the old way of doing business and expecting different results.
So Governor Hochul has said that she'd like to make New York a leader in climate action and green jobs. She says things like that a lot. I think her reputation with the climate concerned community is fairly good. You tell me what you think. So if that's the case, or in that context, why change this accounting metric according to her?
Well, according to her, she's worried about cost. And if you talk about the climate community, their reaction has been very swift and very vocal to this, in opposition to her plan. But if she is truly concerned about cost, there are mechanisms identified in the scoping plan in terms of the auction for credits and expanding the number of credits. In my bill, the Climate and Community Protection Fund, we have different elements of that fund that can go to help mitigate costs to consumers. She, in her own budget, had $200 million earmarked to address low and moderate income consumers to help them with the transition. So there are a lot of ways that we can address costs without gutting the central tenets of the CLCPA and the Climate Action Plan.
And listeners, we can take some phone calls for New York State Senator Pete Harkin, Democrat from Westchester and points north of there and chair of the Environmental Conservation Committee, on the way New York State accounts for methane emissions in the state and other climate initiatives. We'll also get into a couple of other of the big New York State budget deadlock items. And if you want to bring up one or another of those, you can do that too. Call 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, on what is, for the most part, our climate story of the week. And Richard in Manhattan has already called in and is on hold, who wants, I think, to take a shot at explaining the basics of this again to listeners who may not have ever heard this 20% versus 100% metric before. Richard, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, hello, Brian. I'm a loyal listener here. Glad to be on. This is a very important issue, because if the lifetime for averaging is changed from 20 to 100 years, the apparent impact of the global warm of the methane emitted will become much smaller, and that will allow pollution to continue over a longer period of time. The issue that I wanted to bring up is that they offer several reasons for making this change, and the most important one, or at least the one that bothers me the most, is that they say that they are only trying to make it consistent with the work of the IPCC, the International Scientific Community that publishes big reports. And that statement is wrong. Throughout the IPCC, in many different places, they assert that the only appropriate duration for taking averages on the global warming potential of methane is the duration that's appropriate to the task at hand. When they were studying several hundred years of climate change and doing their modeling, they used 100 years. But they said over and over again, that's for that purpose. And whatever you're studying, you should use a duration appropriate to what you're studying.
Richard, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. I think somewhere along the line there, you said a 20% standard. It's a 20-year standard. Not a 100-year standard, but that's exactly the kind of thing that can make this a difficult issue for the public, right, Senator? It seems a little abstract, a little bookkeepy, and it doesn't sound like an existential threat to the planet, like when we talk about global warming generally.
Yeah, and I thank Richard for that explanation, and to try and simplify, methane versus carbon is the short-term enemy. As you explained in your open, much, much more potent towards creating the conditions of global warming than carbon, which is why the Climate Action Council in the scoping plan specifically chose to focus on methane and the 20-year accounting. The reason you do that is because methane dissipates in 35 to 40 years. And as Richard said, it would appear to be much less over the 100-year span, whereas the damage is done in a much shorter period of time.
Now let's talk about how this fits into the budget negotiations that are going on right now. Reading a little more from your statement, to change the climate accounting in the 11th hour of budget negotiations would be counterproductive to the progress we've been making since the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act was enacted in 2019. If the executive is concerned about affordability, there are many avenues to protecting consumers. Disrupting our state climate plan should not be one of them. So, to the extent that you can talk about negotiations underway behind closed doors, is this a bargaining chip for the governor to try to get the legislature to cave on something else that's completely unrelated? Or why is this being inserted into the budget negotiations at the 11th hour?
Well, I think we would have to ask her and her team why this is being inserted. You know, what from our perspective and what we hear from the environmental community, And I go back to the Climate Action Council and the scoping plan. These issues have been vetted. They spent thousands of hours vetting these issues and came up with the 20-year accounting. So to change it now at the 11th hour is, I don't think, productive. It's going to derail us from the progress that we've made. And we just need to focus on the task at hand and move forward.
Let's take another call. Here is Eric, who may be involved in this issue in one way or another. I don't know, because it says en route to Albany. Hi, Eric. You're on WNYC.
Hi. Hey there. This is Eric Weltman. I'm a Brooklyn-based organizer with Food and Water Watch, actually en route to Albany to lobby on this very issue. The environmental community had been backing legislation to ban frack gas in new buildings and promote renewable public power. And we were absolutely blindsided by Governor Hochul's attempt to undermine, you know, New York's climate law. At the end of the day, this is about, you know, frack gas. I mean, I think we need to remind ourselves that most of the gas that we're using today is produced by fracking. New York banned fracking, and we need to continue to move off fossil fuels by incorporating, you know, policies to, you know, ban frack gas in new buildings and promote renewable public power, enact the Superfund law. And this is, let me just say finally, this is not just bad policy. This is bad politics. Governor Hochul has a consistent record of misreading politics and policy. And I think this is another example of this, you know, from Food and Water Watch's perspective. And lastly, thank you, Senator Harkin, your leadership on so many of these important issues. Food and Water Watch really appreciates your leadership.
Okay, there's one for your next campaign blurb sheet. But
Eric,
but,
thank you for your advocacy.
Eric, explain one thing to me. If fracking is banned already in New York State, which it is, Governor Cuomo did that a number of years ago, then how could this be an issue of fracking?
Good question. We are en route to Albany to call on Governor Hochul to stop the quote-unquote Iroquois pipeline expansion. So New York has continued to build out fossil fuel infrastructure, pipelines and power plants that transport and burn frack gas. So we very much need to not only ban frack gas in new buildings as we did in New York City, but we need to halt the construction of pipelines and power plants, as Governor Hochul did, you know, in Astoria, Queens, and the Dan Scammer plant in Newburgh. We need her to maintain a consistent record in stopping fossil fuel infrastructure, including, again, that which, you know, transports and burns frack gas, as well as we need her to practice good politics, good policy, be consistent, and abandon this really surprising, shocking, and disappointing effort to tamper with how New York measures greenhouse gas emissions.
Eric, thank you for your call. And since the governor, Senator, says that there are affordability issues here. And you say if the governor is concerned about affordability, there are many avenues to protecting consumers. What are some of those avenues to protecting consumers while also keeping the state on track to meet its climate goals if we keep the 100% 100-year quote-unquote standard in place? Keep the 20-year standard in place, that is, keeping methane counted as more of a greenhouse gas, not watering it down.
Well, we can offer credits. We can offer rebates. Some of this is I think, as they consider a cap and invest program, putting together the auction market for these credits. If the price is too high, you simply create more allowances to reduce the price of the credits, and that reduces the pressure on the price on consumers. So there are some market-based things that can be done. There are rebates and credits that we can do, can be mean tested to income. So there are a lot of other ways that we can do this without gutting the central tenets of our climate law and what we're trying to do to move New York forward to A, protect the environment, B, create a new clean energy economy. Remember, we're talking about creating 100,000 good-paying green jobs in New York State, bringing green industries to New York State. So, you know, this is not just about, you know, the punishment side that people think of, you know, we're putting an imposition here. This is about transforming New York's economy and really leading the world as far as green jobs and green industries go.
Fossil fuel interests in the state are backing this push to change the accounting metric to a 100-year period. Has the 20-year period for methane accounting affected their profits?
Well, we haven't implemented that as much. You know, now is when we're starting to, and with cap and invest, that is when the credits and the allowances are going to the market. So now this is where the rubber really meets the road. But if you used the methodology that the governor would like to use, it would demonstrate that the natural gas is not as big of an impact on our climate picture as the Climate Action Council and the scoping plan determined it is, and the science determines it is.
Well, have you costed it out differently from the governor? I mean, what's the evidence that this 20-year period, this counting methane emissions more intensely than the governor wants to do, will lead to higher consumer costs in the first place?
Well, exactly. We have asked for their analysis. We have not seen their analysis. The scoping plan looked at all of these things, and we understand, yes, there will be some price crunch, shall we say, but certainly we have not seen the kind of numbers that the governor is talking about. We've not seen their analysis. And in the long run, this will be better for our economy, better for our planet, and better for the health of our children living in communities near fossil fuel burning plants and buildings.
Lee in Arizona, but originally from Brooklyn, I see. Lee, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on and for covering this. I'm with the Public Power Coalition, and I organized in New York for a very long time against frack gas. So I am very happy that people are talking about this, but I'm also really concerned that, you know, in a time when we spent so little, you know, the media is barely focused on climate in the budget. It's been all about bail, that this is really sabotaging, you know, Hochul's trying to distract from what we should be talking about, which is bills like the Build Public Renewables Act, talking about affordability. That bill would allow NYPA to build out renewable energy and then give that low-cost energy to New Yorkers who need it most. So I think that's really where we need to be focusing on and not being distracted by this. We know Governor Hochul has gotten a ton of money from the fossil fuel industry. And so I really hope that the senator maybe can talk a little bit about some of these positive things as well, like Build Public Renewables, And the media can focus on that too, because it's really been sad how little climate has been focused on in this budget. And this really is just a big distraction in the final minutes.
Lee, thank you very much. It is true, and I would say on this show, we've been doing our climate story of the week, and we've done a number of the segments on climate bills in the New York State Legislature in recent months. But it is true that the governor inserting this at the last minute is kind of forcing us, because we have to cover it, to talk about this issue where you're playing defense on a climate-related provision rather than playing offense. What are some of the positive steps from a climate concern perspective that are also under consideration, as Lee raises, right?
Yeah, exactly. And as was mentioned, there's the Build Public Renewables Act, which would allow NYPA to get involved and create clean energy projects and sell that power at a lower rate to consumers. We've got the Climate and Community Protection Fund bill, which would really put guardrails around where the money from any cap and trade program would go to. Right now in the governor's budget, it just goes to the general fund without parameters or guardrails. The All Electric Buildings Act, which for once and for all will set standards for when all new construction needs to be all electric. And I should say, in Southern Westchester, we've been doing that for several years now, because there was a gas moratorium that you may know about. So things like the All Electric Buildings Act are not radical ideas. They've been talked about for years. They've been passed. You know, it's time that we incorporate them. So there's a lot going on in both houses of the legislature. There's a lot that's in the scoping plan. It's time that we just start executing and instead of going backwards.
Yeah, we did a separate segment on the all electric buildings proposal. Do you think that's going to or no gas stoves is the way some people frame it? Do you think that's going to pass statewide? Is that in the budget negotiations per se?
Well, it's in the Senate One House. You know, whether things make it in the budget or not, we can certainly pass them out of the budget. I think both houses, the Assembly and the Senate, are committed to moving a number of initiatives forward this year, because we realize now that the scoping plan has been adopted, it's time to execute the plan and not try to relitigate the plan.
Last question, Senator Harkin, because you represent part of the northern suburbs, I want to ask you just one question before you go about another sort of climate-related plan from the governor that is said to be a major sticking point in holding up the budget, and that's the housing plan. Broadly, for our listeners who don't know, it's to build 800,000 new homes statewide in the next 10 years, and that includes density around train stations in the suburbs. Density around train stations is considered good for the climate, more mass transit use, less driving. But some suburban lawmakers and business interests have pushed back. Some politicians in the suburbs say this will destroy the suburbs as we know them, meaning, I guess, the private home nature. Where are you on this, representing Peekskill and around there?
Sure. You know, first, we leave it in our leadership's hand to negotiate a good deal here. So we trust our leadership. You know, personally, I'm very bullish on creating housing. When you constrict supply, as some zoning does, what you're doing is increasing cost. And we've priced a lot of people out of living in New York simply because of the housing shortage. So we obviously need to do more. I don't have an issue with targets, but just not everything in the governor's plan is actionable. I think we need to work with our municipalities to come up with incentives and tools to make it actionable. So for instance, my district encompasses the New York City East of Hudson watershed, where the watershed agreement of a few decades ago was designed to stifle development, not encourage development, stifle the number of wastewater treatment plants that could be built, and so on. So that's an obstacle right there. So for instance, I have a community that wants to do transit-oriented development, has for the last 10 years, but the land has been owned by DEP, and they've said no to the proposal. So there are challenges that are real. They're not insurmountable. I think we need to give our municipalities more incentives. The $250 million that the governor proposed for infrastructure is a drop in the bucket as to what's really needed, because much of Westchester and Long Island are without centralized water, without sewer systems. You know, up here, we're on wells and septic. Mm-hmm. So the infrastructure is expensive, again, not insurmountable. So I think solutions can be found. I hope, you know, saner heads will prevail. And by working together, we can find a solution that creates more housing and is actionable by our municipalities.
State Senator Pete Harkham, Democrat from Westchester and the Hudson Valley and chair of the Environmental Conservation Committee. Thanks for joining us on our Climate Story of the Week. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. My pleasure.